The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Tomlin with you, standing in for Anton today. And I'm very happy to welcome Cillian Woods, Business Post senior business reporter, to the studio. Cillian, good morning. How are you today?
Not too bad, not too bad.
And also Adrian Sweeney, who is the founder of the Hotel and Spa Resorts.com. Adrian, how are you?
I'm very well.
We're going to take a look at stories that are going around, and I am going to make an on-air confession of incredible stupidity in a moment or two as part of that show that anyone could be scammed. But have you heard of these skincare products for tweens? Have you read about these things?
I have two boys now, so I'm not directly exposed to it. I have two boys, 12 and nearly 9, but their classmates are very much involved in this. There's a trend for preteens now to be very much obsessed with their multi-step skincare regimes. And there's a Brazilian brand called Sol de Janeiro, which they're feeling under pressure to purchase. So, I suppose there's an article in The Guardian that, you know, we were looking at there, and it's basically purporting that this is, you know, I suppose an awful step for kids, you know, for parents, I suppose. It's really difficult for them because these products are really expensive. There's a pot of the Sol de Janeiro, the trending product, is €55 for 240 mils of this thing. And, you know, the rate at which you'd go through it would be, you know, obviously very fast. So parents are under pressure with the cost of living, etc. But look, a lot of we were discussing outside with Cillian there, that a lot of the problem here, I suppose, is that, you know, kids are being influenced by what they're seeing on screens when technically they actually shouldn't be on screens under 13 years old. Like, this is a TikTok phenomenon.
Yeah.
And marketing, you know, these skincare companies are marketing actively to preteens because they see a huge, wide open goal whereby, you know, they are so influenceable, and the pester power is alive and well. And, you know, it's earning a huge amount of money for these massive firms. So, you know, it's I think the problem that we were talking about really is that it's a screen problem rather than a skincare problem.
I was stunned when I heard about this, Keith. Absolutely stunned. So, first, that a market exists called tweens, and that these tweens are between 8 and 12.
Yeah, but then it does, adding to what Adrian said there, is Eva Weisman puts it well in her column with The Guardian, saying that this is just an evolution of kids playing dress up. They're watching their parents.
An expensive evolution, Cillian.
Well, it is, because you can't just take the clothes off then and put them back on the rack, that the serum or whatever is used, and especially if they overuse it, then it's done. But it feels like there's so many epidemics that's been written about, and columns have been written about what needs to be fixed for kids. It was smoking, or maybe it still is smoking to a certain degree.
Yeah.
It is phones and smartphone usage. I feel this is very far down the ladder. This is a middle class hurting my wallet issue, as opposed to, like, I think there's some research that would say maybe if you do use skincare too early in life, it could exacerbate acne. Or are we just diagnosing acne now more? I don't know if there's necessarily a correlation between those two things. So that's up for debate. But it seems like a low level issue, other than just maybe hitting your wallet.
Well, it put the fear of God into me. Do you know where it got me? It was that you felt it was this part, another part of your life that you've no control over your kids in. And that suddenly they're turning around, they're saying things to you that you just can't believe exist. That there are influencers, 11-year-old influencers, that they will go on and that influencer will talk them through their preschool skin routine.
I suppose we're seeing the generational shift now, whereby people are literally, they're growing up from a very young, babies are swiping on iPhones, right? So, you know, we are bringing our children up on screens, and this is probably the first generation whereby, like, when I was growing up, I hadn't a clue. Like, there was no such thing as your phone in your pocket. I mean, the most I was doing was going down to the pound shop to buy some makeup and matching the wrong colour. Like, there was nothing to do with, just extraordinary, kind of massively, you know, exorbitant skincare. Like, that just didn't exist in our world because we weren't aware of it. But now, like, this next generation is the first generation that really has grown from the naught right up with this. And so this is the effect of it, that they're so visually conscious. Like, they're conscious of their appearance from an age that they shouldn't be conscious about it. Mm. And it's really quite sad, and it's sad to watch. But in some ways, it is the world that we're growing up with. We are presenting ourselves on screen most of the time.
That is a danger, Cillian, isn't it?
Forgive me, I do not have children, so forgive the ignorance. So forgive maybe the ignorance of what I'm about to say. I have a very beautiful dog who I spoil.
Yeah.
But I think we were talking about, can you just say no? You don't have to buy it.
Well, I'll give you, I suppose, a little story this morning.
You can say no to a child that you're facing. You can't say no to a child that's in their own area upstairs that
it's the purchasing up. Yeah. I suppose Kate Winslet made a really good point at one stage when somebody asked her about how does your child not have a phone? And she said, well, there's this new phenomenon called no. You just say no to your children. Now, I'm going to put my hands up because I had struggled to say no to screens this morning and I almost caved. I had set down a rule of 8 o'clock. You couldn't watch your screens before 8, and I almost caved, but I had a battle on my hands over it. But it is really hard when you're busy and you're doing other things that it is almost easier to say yes, fine, take your screen, go on TikTok, be influenced, and then you find yourself, you know, under pressure then to buy what the other kids have. And it is really hard. And a lot of parents, we're talking about skincare now, but we could also be talking about sugar at a petrol station. Do you know, like, we have to say no in so many places. And I know that, you know, New Zealand, isn't it, has banned social media for under 13s. Like, that's helping. It's helping parents, you know, to put boundaries down when it's led by the state. Like, if there are rules that say under 13-year-olds can't be on social media, it would be fantastic if the parents didn't have to enforce it.
Yes.
You know,
it's going to be very hard for the parents. You can't call somebody to the house to enforce the no.
I wish I could.
That's it. The man is coming now. You had your warning. The man is coming.
I'd be happy to call him.
Your parenting book, just say no. That's going to be a very small book.
Just no.
It's harder than it seems. I will say, most any parents I know, they do have a kind of when you turn 13 or when you start secondary school is when you're going to get a phone, which would take this issue out of the water a bit. Yeah. So for them, you wouldn't have to worry about it. But once you have a phone in the house, all control is just, and I won't say it's gone, but it's certainly rattled.
I'm not looking forward to it because I'm in that boat now with the 12-year-old, and I'm, you know, it's coming up in a few months away. We'll be getting the phone, and a lot of people already have them. But, you know, I'm very well aware that there's going to be a battle on the hands.
It's huge. I can't get over the change. I really can't. It's sensational.
Would your kids be the only one then that who wouldn't have? Is that the hard and fast rule now?
So the school has, the school and lots of schools have as well, put down a policy whereby parents sign up to a no phone policy in the school until they're 13 and go into first year. And a lot of parents have signed that. But obviously, you know, circumstances for some families are different. Maybe, you know, one would argue a child maybe, inverted commas, needs a phone for travel or whatever it might be. But I suppose once it's a domino effect, isn't it? You know, once one gets one, I'm that's what I'm hearing every day.
The peer group pressure is off the block. I don't think you can really go much beyond 12 or 13 and starting secondary. You kind of have to. They would stand out. They'd be bullied up by not having one if you don't at that point. But the skincare stuff and the amount of money that can be spent and the routines and the idea of 13 and 11-year-old influencers, honest to God, lads. It's nearly as shocking as Daniel O'Donnell warning that there are scammers out there using his name and image.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose in some ways it was a bit of an open goal for scammers to target. And it was, I daren't say it, it shouldn't come across this way, but it was a clever ploy, I suppose, for them. Because, you know, how do you get to a vulnerable set of people who might not be, as Killian was saying, tech savvy? And the easiest way to get to them is through their icon, Daniel O'Donnell.
Yeah, like Bank of Ireland and AIB, just single them out, has poured money into anti-scam. I think Vodafone, a lot of the companies in Ireland have poured money into campaigns to say, we want to make you aware, well, we won't send you requests for text for details. Yeah. We'll never ask for money that way. Honestly, this is probably what they should have done. This is the influencer. Because it's not that only people who are of a certain age fall for it, but there's certain things that from growing up with tech, you'll see that's the wrong spelling of Amazon in that .com that I shouldn't click on, or Unpost, or a funny one I got was and a text from Unpoost, P-W-O-O-S-T, saying your parcel's arriving. Like little things like that you spot. But I think this is such a good use of his platform, I think, to highlight this issue.
What are they doing?
Basically, fake Facebook accounts were set up purporting to be Daniel O'Donnell and looking for money basically off his fans. Now, I'm sure Daniel O'Donnell doesn't need any help, but they came across. Daniel O'Donnell has come out saying, listen, there's been multiple accounts set up. And to be honest, the thing that's shocked me is that this is such a simple scam. Like, it's so easy. Anyone can set up a Facebook account using any photo and any email address, and off you go. All you need to do is start following people, and people might think, oh, Daniel O'Donnell has followed me.
Was that the only layer of it that was dragging people in? That it was Daniel O'Donnell And he's someone that that particular cohort.
That's all you need.
I mean, trust it.
The thing about it is, and I'm sure, you know, with your story as well, is it doesn't require much to pull somebody in. Like, you know, there's statistics. I mean, the Gardaí have said that fraud has increased in Ireland, and their quote is to a staggering level. You know, it's risen over 1 year to a staggering level, that 2/3 of Irish people have had phishing attempts. So this, like that, the SMS coming in through the bank, for example. Like, I've had a friend who fell victim to that recently. So a little bit like your confessional, one of my best friends who's an intelligent person and just happened to be in a rush one day, like many people who are listening have had the SMS come in from their bank straight into their phone in the same thread. And she said, for once, I'm going to pay attention to this now and I'm going to secure my funds. Rang the number because she was in a rush on the way out the door. And that's all it requires, is for somebody to be a little bit rushed and a little bit harried and just to maybe just take a kind of split second decision to ring the number that they've been given. And she lost thousands of euro. She, thankfully, 48 hours later, the bank did give it back, but didn't have to give it back.
Okay.
But the funny thing about all of that, and a little bit like you saying you're going to make a confession today, like, it was a month before she told anybody about it because she was so highly mortified that she fell for it.
Yeah.
And I think that needs to change, because if two-thirds of people have had phishing attempts, the more we talk about it, the more we know about it.
And so we were talking, like, they can catch you at a time when you feel most vulnerable, and vulnerable not necessarily in a sad moment, just busy.
Sure.
Just busy. Like, I nearly fell for one a few months ago when I was just texted by, again, it was Amazon saying, your parcel is arriving later. Do you want, I knew I wouldn't be there, so I tried to change it. It was fake, but I was expecting a parcel from Amazon. It was just random. They were completely random. They had no idea that
I'd argue we were all expecting a parcel from Amazon at any time.
Absolutely. If they hit 100 people, what's the odds of at least one person seeing, oh, I do have a parcel. Oh, that doesn't work. Click the link. Then all of a sudden they're in your phone. You click the link, you've given them access.
But
that can be all, like, the most sophisticated ones and the highest tech can be that all tech that you kind of, by clicking that, give consent to get into your phone, then you're on a web page.
Yeah.
But then you look at the link was weird. It was a weird configuration of the link. It didn't make sense. But also, like, and I think with the Daniel O'Donnell one, this happens on many layers, and it happens to, from all levels of fame. Like, I know someone who, a friend of mine, whose brother is a famous musician, and he had accounts set up purporting to be him, contacting fans of his brother, saying, I see that you're a really big fan. And they weren't asking for anything, but they were building towards asking for something. And that's the stuff that happens. Like, I used to live in New York. I got a text one time on New Year's Eve from someone saying, great to see you last night. Happy New Year. Never seen them. Text them back saying, oh, I didn't see you last night. Wrong number, but Happy New Year. And that started off, I was trying to see it to the end, a 3 week long text back and forth, because it was a woman claimed to be Chinese living in New York and a Brazilian number. It's like, this is a scam, but I want to see where they're going. And they never asked for anything over 3 weeks.
Right.
I was like, where is this going? But that's, they're preying on loneliness as well.
Yeah, there was a piece in the BBC out today.
So they're preying on, it might be as simple as, I can't get home and no one's answering and I need money for a taxi. Okay. Can you send me $50?
Right, my God, I'm feeling less foolish now. I'll tell my story in a second.
There was a piece very similar to what you were saying there, Killian, out today in the BBC, a lady in Scotland, a 77-year-old, preying on somebody's loneliness. And like that had started, I believe, with SMS. But then AI deepfake videos were created to back up the story and sent to her, and she ended up sending £17,000.
Oh, my God.
You know? Right. So it's easily done.
Yeah, I better tell my story. I was coming out of the Woody's car park. I was in seasonal good for something about 4 weeks ago. And a man pulled up beside me in his car and jumped out of his car and whipped out his wallet, which was full of 50s, and looked like he was going to give me loads of 50s. And then he said, oh, sorry, I have the wrong man. He said, I was due to give somebody a refund. I was to meet them at this car park. And then he told me a story about he was going off on a stag party. They were supposed to go to Spain, but due to the bad weather, it was now being held in Galway. And he'd had a really hard week on some trade fair and asked me if I was part of the trade fair. And I said, no. And then he said, well, I'm really looking forward to a few beers down. And then suddenly he threw a box of knives down on the passenger seat.
Okay.
And it said €140 on them.
Right.
And I said, I can't take these. You know, I said, I know, I've had a great week. I'm very successful. I was delighted. You know, have a good Christmas. And then just as he went to walk away, he said, have you had any family at all? I said, yeah, of course. You know. And he threw down four more sets. So I said, come on, let me give you some money. I literally said those words, let me give you some money. And I only had €40 in my wallet. So he said, I'll take Revolut. That should have been the moment.
So. Wait, was the moment he said he was going to Galway to avoid bad weather, not the giveaway?
I don't know.
I live in Galway.
So
and,
drive off.
No one goes to Galway to avoid bad weather.
I drive off at 5 sets of knives.
Oh,
and and €100 down.
And you're going to sell them to us now.
I feel I've taken him. I feel I'm going home with these beans I've got for my cow. And my wife's going to say, this is a brilliant park. These are really great Swiss knives. I notice they don't say Swiss made. They say Swiss home knives, right?
Oh,
and then she Googles them and they're €3.40, I think.
From Temu or something.
So all I can say, lads, I looked into the face of that man. I it wasn't even an online scam. It wasn't a button I pressed. I looked into his face.
But actually, that can kind of shake your confidence in the trust of people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it is hard. It can give you a little bit of post-traumatic stress disorder from your...
Such a fool. Honest to God.
But you see, you're chastising yourself now, and really, you shouldn't, because somebody took advantage of you.
Yeah, you were a victim of that. Like that. Yeah, I think we were talking outside. I would feel, if I was scammed, embarrassed, and I would maybe... I think it's a normal reaction, but it shouldn't be. Like, you were the victim of something there. Like, you were put...
You know,
the
thing we would say to people if it seems too good to be true.
Yeah. I know.
Man,
this one is a particularly
five
funny
sets
one.
Of knives valued at 140 set. The too good to be true thing should kick in there. Oh, God. Anyway, I'm thankful to say I'm not mentioned in Miriam Lord's 2024 Annual Political Gongs and Awards scam of the year. But a few people are there. They're absolutely wonderful, aren't they?
There are a few great quotes. So the quote of the year we have here is that John Cummins said in the Dáil that Sinn Féin have as much strategic direction as a goose in a tumble dryer. I mean, I have to give him credit for the picture that he paints there.
It's a brilliant image, isn't it?
You really do. You really do. It's very creative. I'll give him that. And who else did we have?
Is that a saying? Sorry, is that
I've never heard it before.
Like, I mean, I get what he's trying to evoke there, but yeah, it doesn't jump
I
out.
Don't, I have never saying. Heard that saying, so no. I'm not sure it's an established one. Green TD Paul Gogarty then made a comment of what he thinks about the current shower, he'll call them, you know, the current group of people. And he said the outgoing government had a chance to put in something new, but so far it looks like a cold, this is an oxymoron, cold, lukewarm cup of tea with a bag still in it at a convenience store in Thurles.
What an image again.
Again. Points for creativity there.
There's an awful lot of colour in Dáil, and there has to be said, isn't it? Yeah. Does any of the Healy Rays get a mention at all?
They do, because they gave a shout out to Michael O'Regan, who obviously died this year, and former Irish Times political correspondent, claiming he's the best, Kerry man to ever come from Kerry. Is there Kerry people who don't come from Kerry? But yeah, I get their
Kerry
point.
People,
But I think the opening line is like, it's brilliant, Miriam Lord. Always must read. Brilliant. And like the opening line, though, one line, bombshell of the year, Leo Varadkar's resignation in March. Like the fact that is one line is hilarious. That's the story of the election. I know it happened in recent weeks, but that was the story. That's one line is what shaped the whole election.
Yeah.
Like him in place, the election doesn't necessarily happen in November, completely different outcome, but it's mad that that's one line, but that is the bombshell of the year.
I think that's her delivery, the art of delivery.
The delivery that was very, very well orchestrated there.
Yeah, points out that Simon Harvey stepped in full of energy, which sadly had run out by the time the election arrived. Absolutely brilliant. Who else have we got? She's tipping her hat towards him there.
So let's have a look.
Well, this comeback kid, obviously.
Socialist to the stars, lovey of the year, Claire Daly. Who had Hollywood actors Susan Sarandon and John Cusack and singer Annie Lennox.
And still lost the seat.
Still lost, yes.
Foreign Agent of the Year is Agent Cobalt in the upper houses of the Oireachtas there. And I suppose it provided a lot of entertainment for people to see our senators stand up and admit that they were not working for Russia.
At the moment, you would think you just couldn't exist. Yes, highly entertaining. Thank God she captures every moment of it. Winners of the year, Verona Murphy. Obviously, young Jack Chambers, although
Jack Chambers has done well for himself, I suppose being promoted to the deputy leadership of Fianna Fáil and the Minister for Finance. And I suppose Miriam takes a little pot shot, despite his lack of experience in the money department and uninspiring media outings. Her quote, not mine. But yeah, so you have to.
Great.
Suppose,
and her politician of the year is?
Let's have a little look.
It has to be, doesn't it? Really?
Well, we had Simon Harris, who fell over the line, I suppose, at the end, despite his absolutely fantastic work that he did at the start of the election as well. It was just that media gaffe that he had, which he got punished for.
It's not said enough, because maybe because he's so much in public life all the time, but Micheál Martin staving off Heave essentially over a file is amazing. The fact that he's going to be Taoiseach again is spectacular. It was questioned whether he'd see out his first half tenure of the Dáil, let alone essentially being the chance of being the full Taoiseach. They're going to share it again, it appears, based on the Irish Times front page today, but that he could have legitimately been Taoiseach again for the full term is amazing.
Someone said the key to politics is sticking at it, and he's certainly done that and succeeded. Final story just to mention, we're going to be talking on Bobby's show later about the cost of Christmas, which continues to go through the roof, but the stories of people queuing for €50 supermarket vouchers at the Cabbages Centre.
I just something on this for a moment, because there's a lot of... When social housing comes up, or talk of social housing or handouts from the state, and people who are on lower incomes been given money, and maybe a feeling that there's layabouts, or there's people, unemployment is still at, say, 4%. So what are those people doing? This is, and that people are living off the state. This is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. This is what living, when people say, oh, there's people living off the state getting free housing, this is what it looks like. This is what living off the state looks like. Not even all these people will be in social housing. It means queuing at 4:30 a.m. for a €50 voucher. That's what living, and it makes me, because I hate when it comes up that people are said, though, we're just handing out houses, and why is social housing such a dominant part of our housing now? It's because these people do need help. There's a cost of living crisis that clearly wasn't a big election issue, otherwise the government would have been ousted, but there are people here who will queue for €50. We were talking outside, and I think this is a point of privilege. I'm not boasting in anything. I'm trying to point my own privilege here. There's nothing I queue for. No, I don't think there's very little in life I would actually queue for at 4:30 a.m. This is what these people have to do €50.
What they're using the money for, it's tough stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a really distressing read, and it's in the Irish Times today, an article by Kitty Holland, and it is, you know, outlining, you know, as Killian was saying there, people standing in queues from 4:30 in the morning, the Capuchin brothers bringing out hot soup to people. Some people are in wheelchairs, some elderly men and women on their own, some people on crutches, some parents wrapping their children in sleeping bags to bring them out to get a €50 supermarket voucher.
Was there someone with their child sleeping in their arms?
That's right, yeah. And like, actually, I genuinely am emotional reading it, because, you know, we're complaining, I suppose, in some ways about the cost of skincare that we're giving our overprivileged children, and on the other side of the fence this is happening, and you know, we have these absolutely fantastic people plugging the holes that we have in this country, and these people are in homes, like these are not the homeless figures, you know, and that's the actually staggering part of it. And this is, as Killian and I were saying as well, this is work that goes on all year round. It's not just at Christmas, because of the extra cost.
All the more painful at Christmas, it has to be said. Killian, thank you very much for that. Killian Wood, Business Post Senior Business Reporter, and Adrian Sweeney, founder of Hotel and Spa Resorts. .com. Happy Christmas to both of you, and thank you very much for coming in. We've taken a look at the historic pubs of Dublin after this.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.